Oh my gosh, it's Dan Snell again. It's the banter show.
It's
It's the banter
Bob
between the,
Sherwood.
what do we call a show? The Brain Hurricane
Banter,
or
banter. I think we've determined you and I have years of bantering, so it's banter
yeah.
with Bob and Dan.
Now I can barely hear you. Are you coming across okay? Am I coming across okay?
Yeah, you can't hear me. Let me adjust my audio. Let's make sure my audio is that any better?
Little bit better.
Little better now?
I keep bringing in some music there.
Oh, I don't know how you're getting music.
Huh?
I don't know how you're getting.
Well, I turned on my music. Hey, listen, let's banter a bit. Okay, tariffs. Anybody who's watching the news saw the tariffs. Oh my gosh. And I'll tell you that I agree with the process of the tariffs, but the backlash against Trump for this is going to be horrible because it absolutely puts the American automotive companies on notice. General Motors and Ford, if you notice today, went down. Stocks went down. Why? Because General Motors, where do they build a lot of their products? In Mexico.
Yeah.
So,
Here we are,
you know.
55 days, I believe it is, out from inauguration day one when he takes over. And he's done a fine job out front and up front. I applaud him for getting all these names out there and the appointees to get that going. He's talking about tariffs. He hasn't talked about, which you and
Well,
I
you're
talked
not
about.
coming in really clear. Can you hear yourself clear? Anyway, it's like you're, I don't know, I hear something. Go ahead and maybe it'll clear up.
Well, let me just.
Banter. Banter a bit.
How about this? Is that better?
Well, there's a little
Testing.
bit, still a little bit of an echo. I don't know how it'll sound when we play it back, but let's keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, the
Well.
tariffs, it hit Ford hard and it hit General Motors hard. And, you know, they're paying the price. I mean, years ago, both of them decided to make products in Mexico. And now those products are going to cost more importing the United States. And they're both going to say the same thing. They're going to say, oh my gosh, Trump, you're increasing the cost of the consumer. But what Trump is saying, you guys have had the benefit of offshore manufacturing for all these years, making profits. Now pull some of that manufacturing back into the United States.
It's interesting, and you and I can hearken back because
Yeah.
we're seasoned in life. We can hearken back. I remember in the 70s when Honda Motor Company first came in with their little Honda cars, and everybody thought, Honda, they're motorcycles. How can they make a car? And everybody, Honda, Toyota, everybody said, we don't want those foreigners. There's foreigners. Now the most biggest selling car in the world is Toyota. And what happens is America has gotten used to just the slow drip, 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 drip of foreign presence in what gets imported in vehicles and other things. I mean, even washing machines and dryers and things like that. And now we are don't have those manufactured. I remember just down the road in Z Springfield, Missouri, Zenith Television. Remember Zenith?
Right.
You don't even hear of Zenith anymore. It was made in America. Now all the TVs. So, as you said, Bob, they've gotten spoiled with profits. And there's nothing wrong with profit, but they're not as Trump's campaign messages putting America first.
He's doing what he said he's going to do. He's going to put tariffs on that, and that's what's happening. So I kind of applaud him for doing what he said he was going to do, but he is going to get so much pushback from the Democrats who won't really understand what he's doing, and from the car companies who are, I'm not saying they're getting hurt by it. They can all afford it, right? Because they
Right.
benefited from offshore manufacturing for years. And he's saying, well, you benefited from offshore manufacturing. Now it's over. Bring that stuff back to the United States where it should be manufactured and where it's been manufactured. And give these unions people back their jobs. So, I just applaud him for doing it. But you know, as an equity owner in some of these automotive companies, they all took a hit today.
I don't think, I think he came out with that now, and he's trying to renegotiate the trade agreement with Canada and Mexico and maybe talk to China. I think by the time, maybe not January 20th, but by the end of February, 1st of March, we'll see that those tariffs aren't going to stick. and
Why
they'll
not?
go away.
Why not?
Well, because he's using these as with Mexico. He's saying to Mexico, you either help us substantially by putting troops, your military, at the border. That's what he did last time.
I disagree 100%. He's doing it because he wants manufacturing back in America. That's what he wants. And the only way he can do that is with tariffs.
Well, that's part of it. And he also wants, because Canada, the drug cartels and the crime syndicates coming in from Mexico, and there are more watchful eyes on the Canadian border now than there's ever been. So
well,
I think he's wanting them to pay
Mexico
for.
Mexico cares about the tariffs, frankly. You know,
the issue is, and you're a smart man, who really pays those tariffs? It isn't like China or Mexico or Canada writing us a check for 25% more. It's whoever is importing those, they have to decide, do we pass it on to consumers or do we eat the tariff?
Well, hopefully what they'll decide to do is neither one. I mean, the purpose of tariffs, these tariffs, is to tell companies that have benefited from years for out-of-country manufacturing to bring manufacturing back to the United States. It's not a negotiating tool at all because there's no trade agreement that's involved here. It's merely what he says. I want to bring manufacturing back. The only way to do that is put high tariffs on things that are imported. That's what he's done. So that to me, it's not that complicated at all. It's not a negotiating ploy because Mexico can just say, you know, go ahead and do it if you want. Doesn't really hurt them directly until General Motors says to Mexico, I'm going to bring that bumper that I'm making in Mexico back to Michigan, where I used to build
Well,
it.
Bob, banter point of order. There is a trade agreement that, remember when Trump came on, there was NAFTA that was done during the Clinton.
I never said there wasn't a trade agreement.
You did. We'll go back on the tape.
What I said was the tariffs aren't affected by a trade agreement.
He wants them to be.
No. The trade agreement is in place. Whatever we agreed on is in place. NAFTA.
He wants to renegotiate it because it's up.
Help. The tariffs are done that to bring manufacturing back to the United States. If he wants to renegotiate a trade agreement, he can just get up in the morning and renegotiate it.
Well, exactly. We're both right. You know, I'm a winsome guy.
You're
we're both
wrong.
Right.
You're wrong because you don't understand why the tariffs are there.
You kill me. No, you're right in that he does want to bring American manufacturing back. Point, Bob Sherwood.
Right.
But also, it has been stated by Bessette or some of the other people already in his appointees that he wants to renegotiate.
Yeah. The disagreement we have is not about that he wants to renegotiate. Of course he wants to renegotiate. The disagreement we have is that the desire to renegotiate is an independent concept and totally distinct from the tariffs.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, so there we go.
Well,
now we're in agreement. Nobody's saying there are no tariffs. Of course he would like to renegotiate it, but the tariffs are independent thing, independent policy now. So I'm glad you finally understood that now the distinction is there, right?
Yeah, you're glad I finally came around.
As the tariffs go, I don't think they're going to go away in the next 90 days or maybe even 6 months. But I have to say this, listen to the Democrats in the next 2 or 3 weeks or the trade shows. They'll be saying, Trump is against the unions.
He's against the unions.
He's against Mexico. He's against Ford. He's against General Motors because they're the ones, you know, that really are directly hurt by it.
As far as who
pays it, you know, we have to wait and see actually who pays it. Can they pass the prices down to American consumers? Sure they can. But the issue is right now they're forecasting next year a drop in American car sales. Now I hope I get this right. American manufacturing car sales, not Toyota, not Lexus, but a drop of 1.1 million units, which mostly would be hurt. Which would hurt mainly people like Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler. I don't know the name of the new Chrysler company. It's an Italian company that took over Chrysler and all those pieces.
Well, I like this. I like this because I believe, and you know, historically, I'm not a gigantic Trump fan because of his behavior, because I think the spirit of the country and words, behavior matters. However, what he's done since, though it's only been 15 days or whatever since the election, actually 21 days, I guess. 21 days, he's done a lot of good things. And so I have high hopes. And I will say on April Fool's, when we do our podcast on April 1st, April Fool's Day, I'm going to say that the tariffs will have not been put in place or they'll be taken off because he's going to do it. Take one. April Fool's, one of us will be right or wrong.
Not
And
necessarily. We
we
could
can
both be
banter
right.
on that.
But in any event, I applaud him for putting the tariffs in place. Now, you also said he's done some other things that you think are good. What else has he done in the last, 30 days that you think is a good thing?
Well, you look at, I think it's really good to be upfront and outfront in leadership and getting his appointees all out there. And he's got some surprising appointees. I mean, you were just talking a minute ago about labor unions. The Secretary of Labor is from Oregon, Lori Chavez de Remer or something like that.
Right.
She's pro-union. She's pro-union person.
Right.
And Bessette, his Bessette, the guy that's going to be his treasurer, he is a pretty down-to-earth. Actually, worked for George Soros of all things, a Democratic
Yeah, I was
fundraiser.
surprised about that, right?
Yeah, because you know
Background
how.
Soros. Now, let me ask you a question. Since you've been in city council for years and ran for several offices, as you tell us very often.
Just want to remind you.
What the hell does a Treasury Department do? When they get up in the morning, what decision do they make that affects us?
Well, that's a very good question. Like we analyzed the Department of Agriculture
Right.
yesterday. It used to be, they'd call them Treasury agents, which was some
Yeah.
had to do with some enforcement. The Department of Treasury, I think, has oversight of the IRS, I believe. They have oversight of some of the intelligence, like the I believe they have some direct oversight of the FBI.
Yeah, they do.
And other,
Oh, they do. I didn't know that.
as you would
Here's
call
what
them,
I thought
Alphabet.
the Treasury Department collects money.
Yes.
So for example, they have the IRS, right? They're responsible to collect the money. Now, here's an interesting point. Let's say the government collects, let's say from the IRS, $1 trillion a year, right? And they collect more. What banks do they put that in? What, where is it in? That when I send a check to the IRS, they cash it. What bank does it go in? Does it go in the governmental bank monitored by the Treasury, or does it go in Bank America or Visa or somebody like that?
Yeah, it's got to be a federal bank. Let's go to our sidekick, our new faithful sidekick, which we didn't have when we were live on the radio in 2009. Google. Hey, Google, when a citizen pays taxes to the IRS, what bank does that money go into? What bank account?
On the website irs.gov, they say, generally, the due date for filing the return and paying any tax due is April 15th of the year following the year in
Okay.
which you file your
Okay.
return.
Hey, Google, where is that check that we send the IRS? What bank is it deposited into?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Ah.
What'd they say? What'd they say?
It says United States Bank. I don't know. What is, wait, here we go. Here we go. Who is the IRS issuing? Here we go. Breaking news right here, only on Banter with Bob and Dan. The envelope says it's the name from when you get a check, a refund. It says the back of the card has the name of the issuing bank, MetaBank NA. Very interesting.
Yeah, we'll explore this some more. I don't think I've gotten a check back from the IRS in 10 years, but some bank issues it, and as my understanding is, that's the Treasury function, to get the checks issued and collect the money.
Well, should we ask our sidekick?
I just asked it. So I just asked it.
That we ask about the bank account. Hey, Google, what are the duties and responsibilities of the Department of the Treasury of the United States?
On the website obamaadministration.archives.performance.gov, they say, Treasury operates and maintains systems that are critical to the nation's financial infrastructure, such as disbursing payments to the American public, collecting taxes, producing coins and currency, and issuing debt necessary to run the federal government.
Well, that's what you said, Bob. That's why you're now. Hey, Google.
I didn't hear it.
Are there any other departments or organizations underneath the Department of Treasury umbrella?
I don't know, but I found these results on search.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one of my questions is the Federal Reserve banks in the United States report to Treasury. Anyway, we can come back on this, the Treasury Department, later. But yeah, as I understand it, their job is to, issue checks to people that the government owes money to, collect the money, put it in a bank somewhere. Who knows where what bank they put it in? Maybe they put it in their own bank. And then I don't know what they do with the money while it's sitting there. I guess, you know, they got a Treasury kind of looks at revenues and receipts. I think the Federal Reserve reports the Treasury, but if somebody were listening to us would tell us what's going on with the Treasury, it'd be helpful. But yeah,
which leads to a big question. I don't think
Treasury decides to print more money. And that's a question in my mind. Who actually makes the decision to print more money? Is that Congress? Is that Treasury? Who actually says, hey, we need $1 billion to fund this one project. We don't have it in our Treasury Department, so go print another $1 billion and do it. Who makes that decision?
Yeah, I think it's too easy to do that from the White House to the outhouse. Anybody seems to be able to do that. But going back to what do they do in one of the gigantic, huge issues that's taken up such a gigantic portion of our budget is the national debt, is the Treasury. They got some guy sitting around in an office figuring out we got a national debt problem. In fact, I just saw it went up to 36 trillion.
Who do we owe the money to?
Oh, this is a good conversation you and I have had. Let's banter about that.
Some
foreign governments, but...
No, we don't.
Bob, give them your thoughts. Let's hear your thoughts on this whole national $36 trillion.
Debt is totally overrated. I give an example. Debt is only relevant to total assets that back up the debt, right? And debt's only relevant if you have to pay the money. Now, if Department A owes the money to Department B and both departments report to the same person, it's irrelevant. Now, if China loans us, you know, $500 million, I guess that's a debt we would have to pay, something like that. Or if J.P. Morgan loans us money, historically speaking, wealthy people in the past, 1910, 1920, 1930, have loaned the government money.
Yes.
So it's possible that money is owed to other sources. We might owe some to Saudi Arabia, right? I don't know the answer to that. But the debt itself always gets talked about. Everybody wants to control the debt, but nobody really understands if we had no debt, what would happen? And I know the theory. The theory is at some point, revenues, what we collect, is only equal to the interest payments on the debt, in which case we wouldn't have any money. It's the same way for a company. If you're paying interest on your debt and it's greater than your revenues and profits, you have a big problem.
Yeah.
So in the case of a corporation, the lender can close on the debt. Now, let's say one of our lenders closed on the debt. What would they get? Washington, D.C. or California? What would we give them? We'd say, well, you know, we have assets, but we've decided to just give you California.
California or Air Force One, maybe Air Force One.
We'll give you California and we're going to give you New York because they don't vote for us anyway. So we'll give you those two states. And now we'll only have 48 states, but who cares? You've got now a couple of states on your own. Good luck with them because they're hard to manage. What I mean is debt and assets have to be related. So if somebody that we owe money to comes to us and says, Mr. President, pay off your debt, we'd say, well, we'll have to sell some assets, or we'll just give you some assets. We'll give you California. Is that enough? I mean, they're at a budget deficit, so maybe they're a negative cash flow. So I don't know the answer, but I know this in real life, we have assets and liabilities. And if somebody calls your debt, you sell some of your assets. Anyway.
Hey, breaking news here. On my phone, you can't see it, but I promise
you. Why are you showing it to us?
The text is there. Marwan from Al Jazeera Television, Washington, D.C., wants me to call him, probably to be on. I always enjoy doing those shows because it's completely in Arabic. And so you go on Zoom and they're having a translator. You think you and I banter and have fun together. So what they do is I'm talking to a blank screen to an interpreter. So yeah. The host on air says something in Arabic. The guy tells me what the host said. And then I answer and then he repeats it back.
How many people are listening?
Well, it's the U.S.-based D.C. Bureau for Al Jazeera TV. So I think they have a pretty...
Do you know how many people are listening?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, Google, what's the average viewership of Al Jazeera TV worldwide?
I couldn't find an answer to that specific question, but according to en.wikipedia.org, Al Jazeera broadcasts in over 150 countries and territories, and has a large global audience of over 430 million people.
That's what I'm talking about, Bob. Now, 430 million people right here, you and I.
Now let's just kind of like be clear about that. Certainly, the only people that listen are people that speak Arabic, right?
Yeah, well, they say 150 countries. I don't know.
No, wait a minute. Let's start off with the assumption. They have to speak Arabic to understand the language, right?
Yes.
Okay. So for openers, it can't be more than the total population of people that speak Arabic. I don't know what that number is, but I
can find that out.
Right.
Anyway, hey, Google.
Okay. I'd say go on. Make sure they pay you, by the way.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not right now. I just have to. No, we're not.
Any information that we discuss.
Because this banter.
This banter here is copyrighted and owned equally by both of us. So please don't. Please don't use any of our banter points like agricultural budget and treasury.
No. I might promote. I might tell them to make sure that they share that besides author of The Winsome Candidate, shameless plug, and on banter, I might have them say, and a co-host of the podcast Banter with Bob and Dan.
I don't want to be on Al Jazeera. You're welcome to do it, but I don't want to be on any show where I don't understand what they're saying about what I just said. Right? So I have too much experience with people translating for me in French or Dutch when I was in South Africa, and you're really relying on the translator understanding well enough to get your point across, and I don't always trust that. Anyway, that's just me. Now, okay, so how many minutes left? Stop us when we got a few minutes left. So
okay, we still got about 10 minutes left.
Okay, so what's the next thing? We've talked about tariffs. That's big on everybody's mind. I'm really anxious to see how much pushback Trump gets on those. We talked about that. We've talked about Treasury. I'll say one thing. I got one more point. I listened to Biden pardon the national turkey. And I'll tell you, frankly, I feel sorry for the guy because I don't think he said two sentences that were intelligible. And people commented on it. I mean, some of the language he used, you couldn't even understand. The words were mumbled, blah, 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 like that. You couldn't even understand them. I felt sorry for him. And I just can't understand why the Democrats or whoever is in charge of what he does, let him do that. Why let him make a fool out of himself? So his legacy is going to be more word salads and unintelligible comments about a turkey. And it just bothers me because I do respect the presidency more than that. And I think if we have a president that was basically pushed out of running for president, that would means to me he's not competent to be president. So why don't we, like it or not, make Kamala Harris president? But at least she can say something in an almost complete sentence, but he can't. And I felt sorry for him. I was listening to him mumble, blah, 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 something about the turkey, and I'm part of the turkey. And, it was horrible. They replayed it back on several networks, and I thought, don't replay that.
Yeah.
It's not right.
And that always bothers me when you have some networks. Of course, you got diversity in networks, what they believe, who they like, don't like, but they enjoy taunting, mocking, making fun
No,
of
it's horrible. They
the other
shouldn't.
one. And they should not do that. It's not winsome. It's not good. It's not good for America because it does put into the minds and souls of America to disrespect the office of presidency. You know,
Exactly.
Donald Trump. Will be he'll be 82 or three in 4 years when he's at the end.
Well,
And
he can
I
play
look at
defense.
you just had a birthday. I don't know if I can release your age, but
Oh,
you are crisp.
you may not release my age.
Okay, I will just say you are incredibly crisp, intelligent, quick-witted, knowledgeable, studying, and articulate.
Well, you almost captured
And
it all there, but then
my
you stopped too soon. You know, there's a lot more you could have said, and you just stopped,
Good
and that
looking,
bothers me.
handsome, charming.
Well, those things are not true. Now, there's another thing I'm going to throw into our daily banner that I hear Rachel Maddow has took a $5 million cut in her salary, so she went from 30 million a year to 25 million a year. Now, why she hasn't been fired or replaced, I don't know. I have nothing against her personally. I'm just saying that if the Democratic Party wants to rebound, if they want to really do, move forward, they've got to get rid of these people that spend all their day long speaking personally against somebody. And I'm going to quote Truman. Truman one time said to about MacArthur, he said, he MacArthur and he had a disagreement, right? And he said to MacArthur, he said, "You can criticize me all you want, Harry Truman, but you can't criticize me as president, and you can't criticize the office of president." He said, "Those are things you cannot do, at least publicly, right?" And I think that's kind of what I'm saying, is that they need to get rid of people that criticize the person instead of criticizing what the person represents or the policies or something like that. And I still believe that the Democrats, if they get rid of what's his name, the guy that wears the big black sunglasses and speaks from Arkansas, what's his name? He did the Hillary Clinton deal.
Yeah, I know who you're
He's
talking
the one
about.
that said time and time again, Kamala Harris will be elected. I'm 100% sure. I'm 100% sure. And now, does he ever say that? No. Now he just says, "Oh, the Democrats really screwed up. They should have followed what I told them to do." It's just like, how do they keep quoting this guy? He's an
Which
idiot, you know?
your listeners
Yeah.
and soon besides audio, we could put this on video. You just nailed something that people should know if they don't know. Where was Harry Truman from? Right here, within 15 miles where you and I are at. He was in Kansas City, Independence, Missouri, where his museum is, his presidential library. So you and I may have to broadcast live, do our 25 minutes of banter from the Truman Library. Are you
Yeah,
up for that?
he was also one of the few people that said you should not make money off the presidency. So after he left the presidency, became a private citizen, he refused to accept money for talks and things like that because
Yeah.
he said it's a public service.
That's
Why should
right.
I make money out of being president? Yet, let's face it, it's if you want to talk about a money-making job, become president, right?
Yeah.
You get an incredible 401k plan for the rest of your life, and you
Another
make all
thing
kinds of money on books.
that's just awesome. You and I have meaningless trivia, but profound is for Harry Truman once said, I got my dog Hercules. Hercules, come here. Come here, buddy. I got a dog. But Harry Truman said, If you want a friend in Washington, D.C., get a dog.
Right.
Yeah, get a dog. Isn't that priceless? I mean,
well,
that's
we got other issues too. I mean, this whole idea of making money on the what's the two guys that are going to get let out of prison? The Brzezinski guys that killed their mom and dad. And I understand they've already signed contracts with
Menendez.
For millions of dollars.
Well, they're still they've taken a step back with the new district attorney out there, which you have ties to, a lot of ties to Los Angeles.
Wait a minute. The contracts they signed are good whether they get out or not. That's what I understand.
Oh,
they make the money regardless.
But will they get out? There's a whole new, tougher stance on their being released.
I don't care if they get out or not. What I object to is them making money off of something that they've been convicted of doing.
Yeah.
And I think Netflix should you know, should not enter into an agreement with somebody in prison that they're going to become very wealthy, right? Whether they get out or not. And if they get out, they'll be super wealthy, and it doesn't make any sense to me, right?
Man. Well, you know, as your friend and admirer, I just want to counsel you to be kind to Netflix, because you are an author of 4 or 5 novels that have a theme that I think one day should be a series of thrillers.
I could never sell them to Netflix.
You couldn't? Hulu?
No, because of the crap they put out.
Hulu?
Huh?
Hulu?
Amazon? I'd rather sell them to, I don't know, somebody would make a movie out of them. But, yeah, I don't even care about that. But
anyway, folks,
so
you got to get on Amazon. Look up Robert J. Sherwood and his novels and buy some of those. Because I'm going to tell you, I only read mostly nonfiction self-help book.
Yeah.
But the only novels I've ever read in my life are Bob's. And what's the guy's name? The Jack Ryan. If you like those Jack Ryan movies, you will love David Dawson, who's his character.
Well, I don't know if you will or you won't. I don't really.
They will.
Anything I do, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if anybody ever buys my books. That was never my intent. I don't care if you buy them. I'd say don't buy them. Right?
Okay. You heard it here first, folks. So if we get this movie contract going, he's just going to give me all the money. Is that right, Bob? Is that what you're saying? You don't care?
I said I don't care if anybody buys my books. I never said I didn't care
the
about
books.
Making people
but if they. Oh, okay. That's fair. But
it's a big distinction for me. In other words, I feel like I'm a struggling author. I'm trying to get my one bestseller. I think I've got one now. But I also know this, that the best novels in the world are like the best products in the world. If no one knows about them, they can't buy them.
That's right.
And my biggest issue is that I don't really have either enough funding or enough natural distribution to get the subjects of my books out.
You are only one person away. So if anybody listening, watching, knows somebody, a producer, director, this, when you see these scripts or these, what it could be, you're going to say, this is a move over, Jack Ryan. Here comes David Dawson.
Well, okay. maybe, but what else we got now? We're talking.
Well, we're winding down here. So we just need
our books. I want to talk about bantering. We talked about treasury. We talked about tariffs. Let me ask you a question. Of all the things Trump's could do, what do you think he's going to do next? He's already announced the tariffs. What do you think he's going to do next?
I hope that, and it would be good for the country and the world, that he does address something with Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's something. I guess my question is, should he do that now? I mean, I'm sure he wants to do it, right? But should he do it now, or should he wait till he's president? I don't know.
Well, if he does it now, he has to do it in some reasonable level of conjunction with, President Biden. But I think behind the scenes, the fact that Trump hasn't said anything about Biden's escalation with the missiles and use of missiles, and I think they had some conversations on this. But Trump had said, his word was, I'll do it before I get inaugurated. So
right.
I think he should do it. It would be a great, I mean, talk about momentum day one, before
but
day one.
How is he going to do it?
Well, I think he asks.
President, he can do it.
If he asks permission. And what a thing to unite the country. Can you imagine if Donald
ask permission of who?
Well, if Joe Biden would say, okay, President-elect Trump, you said you could do this. Let's have this conversation together, bring them to Washington and do it. That way it unites the country. It solves a big problem in the world.
You're missing my whole point, as usual, Dan. I'm not talking about calling the meeting. I'm talking about what are they going to do when they have the meeting?
The art of the deal, you know, Trump has some ideas. And
what is he going to say to them? What is he going to say to Putin? Putin, I wish you would just stop this war. And if you don't, I'm not going to buy you lunch. I mean, what is he going to say to Putin?
Well, he's going to find out what are the pain points, right? Just like a good professional salesman.
So
what are your pain points? What do you want? Putin's probably going to say, I don't want them, Ukraine, to be part of NATO. And
exactly
I want some of this land. And Ukraine's going to say, hey, you've destroyed our country. And right. Russia's going to say, the money we would have spent in the next year, the billions or rubles, whatever they are, what are they in Russia? You know that stuff.
But my question is still the same, is that I believe the NATO thing would be right on top of Trump's list. I think he would say, okay, I will pledge to you, we will not ever push for the Ukraine to be in NATO.
Yeah.
Which Zelensky would have like a fit about. But anyway, he'd say, okay, that's it. Now, I agree with that. That makes sense. Now, what's his name? Brzezinski. What's his name? Brzezinski or Zelensky?
Zelensky.
What would Zelensky do? Give up part of his country to Russia?
I think what he will do is probably try to get to some kind of reformation, some kind of rebuilding, financial capabilities, because he's got a lot of damage, I mean, in the billions of dollars. And just as it's good for the military and save money and what's going on there, that money could be spent as to repairing the country.
I think what's going to happen is that Zelensky and Putin, with Trump kind of organizing it, will agree to have a area of Ukraine, and maybe even a part of the area of Russia, be what's called a neutral zone. In other words, almost like we had the Berlin Wall kind of separated.
Yeah, the demilitarized
zone, but owned by no one for some length of time, right?
Uh-huh.
So then Zelensky can say, I didn't give up part of my country, it's still the Ukraine. And Russia can say, yeah, but this particular part of the country. So we have like a part of the country that is jointly managed, maybe
if
by Trump.
Yeah, if there are right? people that want to be under the Russia regime, maybe they move to that part.
They can move there. Well, why not? You want to be, if you want to be under Russia, you speak Russian,
which
a lot of them probably do. You know, the Ukraine has a history of Russian. So, I think there's ways that could do it. But I think it starts with the president of the United States saying, we are not going to send one more weapon to the Ukraine. We're not going to give you one more dollar until this whole thing is resolved. And that is the ironclad negotiating point.
Well, that only hurts Ukraine, though. So that's not a negotiating point.
The point is, the point is that
that only helps Russia.
We are adding fuel to the fire by sending them weapons. And we cannot ever stay as a country that we're not at war with Russia. It's stupid to say, oh, we're not at war with Russia. That's the silliest, stupidest thing anybody could say. We are supplying weapons to a proxy country who's at war with Russia. We are at war with Russia, and Putin knows it. He says it. Of course the United States is at war with Russia.
Well, the same thing that has to happen between Republicans and Democrats in the United States is that both those sides, Russia and Ukraine, have to accept probably 70% of what they want and accept that 30% they're not going to get. Just like Democrats and Republicans need to cooperate and find a way. You know, cooperation is not a four-letter word.
There are people that are really believe we should help the Ukraine. And they believe it passionately. And it's not that I don't believe we should help a democracy. I believe that we shouldn't cause war. We shouldn't be part of creating a war. If they don't have any weapons, you cannot create war. Putin would probably leave tomorrow if we just said to Putin, the main thing he wants is we will never support the Ukraine as part of NATO. That's what he's wanted from the beginning. And that's what Kennedy knows. And I've heard other people talk about that. Anyway, that's kind of a narrow viewpoint. It may be more complicated than that. But I think a lot of times it's not more complicated than that. It's really a simple thing that Putin wants, because if he gets that, what can he say to his people? I've won. Yeah. I got what we wanted, right?
Yeah.
He can leave Ukraine with honor, right?
That's so anyway, right. And so
that's my banter for today.
That's, you know, good banter today. You know, the score was Bob 8, Dan 7. You know, I honorably say congratulations. And just as all great people, because I'll win another day. I'll come to rise again, win another day. So for our listeners, viewers, have Bob, if they want to write something into you, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, there's nobody listening to our banter.
Yeah, they are. Webtalkwithbob@gmail. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Okay. All right. Listen, are we signing off?
We're signing off.
Sign-off privileges today.
We'll be back. We'll be back. In the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, former governor of California, who you were about to give away, right, to China earlier, Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, I'll be back. I'll be back.
I never gave away China.
You gave California, New York away to China.
No, I didn't give them away.
This is for another banter. Remember on the national.
I satisfied a debt obligation. I did it in a sarcastic way so people can understand that debt is always revolving around assets.
Assets,
and a
yes.
Lender who we owe the money to, whoever that person is, if they call the debt in, we have to give them some assets.
And Arnold, give them California. Arnold would hear you saying that, and he'd say, get to the choppa, get to the choppa, get to the choppa.
No, we can give them Alaska back. They had it anyway. Or no, Russia had that.
Which is another novel, which is a great novel by Bob Sherwood, talks about Alaska.
Are you signing off?
We're signing off. Folks, stay winsome. Keep listening to this great banter and tell your friends about it. Write webtalkwithbob@gmail.com and give us your comments.
Goodbye.